This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Fear and Courage, Part 1, was delivered on July 19th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Thank you, Pastor Frank. He's here today because that means there's no races. Because when there is races, he takes the message to the racetrack. And you know, going down that racetrack at 100 miles an hour, man, you need prayer, right? Even if you're only going straight. Just kidding, Frank. There's a thing between him and I, because I tell drag racers they just go straight, but NASCAR guys, you got to turn left. Yeah, but thank you so much. Hey, if you do have a prayer request, on the bulletin there's a tear-off tab. You may fill that up and drop it in the acrylic box, and we'll be sure to get it out to our prayer warriors, all right? Whew, man, beautiful weather. It's hot. By the time I get off of this stage, my shirt will change color. It'll be a darker red. And it's okay because I love it. I love being on fire for the Lord. And yes, it is hot inside and outside. And, you know, thank you for that song on worship team. Yeah, so this week and next, we're going to be talking about fear and courage. And, you know, how many of you ever just had fear overcome you that it was so bad that you just, like, you couldn't move, you couldn't breathe? And, you know, sometimes it may be a lizard. I know a couple of times I've seen those big brown cane spiders, and it stopped me in my tracks, and I was like, I couldn't move. I mean, come on, it's really fear, spider? Yeah. And sometimes there's certain things. I remember my boss, and, you know, he was like the hardest boss I ever had to work for. But I had learned the most from this guy. He was just darn outright mean to me. I told you before, Friday afternoon, ready to go home. Sharoma, I got to talk to you on Monday. Oh, seriously. Now I'm going to be thinking about this all weekend long. And I think he did that to me on purpose. But you know what? If you're out there, Mark, and if you're listening, and I hope you are, I love you, and thank you so much for being so tough on me. I was, every single day, I was kind of like afraid or maybe dreading going to work because I knew it, I was going to get dirty lickings from him. Not physically, but verbally. And every time he would walk in the room and he would call out my name, Sharoma, everybody's head went down. It's like, oh. And then, but the fear that was instilled in me about going to work, it's like, okay, I got to do the best I can, caused me to get up extra early and to read my Bible every single day for those years that he was my boss. And God knew that I wasn't a reader. I didn't like reading the Bible. I didn't like reading anything. But I knew if I didn't read my Bible, I wouldn't have been equipped for what he was going to dish out to me. So every single day that I went to work, I got up early, I read my Bible, and I went to work knowing that I was equipped for the day, I had my ammunition, and so that was all God's doing. And he did that to me so that I could learn to trust him, to read his word, and to not leave without putting on the armor, without getting equipped for my day. And I think if that didn't happen, then I would have a hard time doing what I do because I wouldn't be reading my Bible every day. And, you know, all those things helped me to be where I'm at. And, you know, with this pandemic going on, the loss of jobs, you know, surgeries postponed, the protests, this past few months, man, has been like just turmoil. And you look and you see Satan with his hand everywhere, fear, doubt, jealousy, accusations, you know, they are all part of Satan's weapons. But today, we're going to just look at fear, because I believe Satan uses fear to rule and reign and keeps us paralyzed. You know, when we first decided that we need to plant a church, and that was like in 2005, and God had put that on my heart, but I think I was kind of fear, and I think I wasn't mature enough. I found a place that they were going to rent it to me for like $8 an hour. I mean, you don't find that. And by the time I got over the fear and moved towards the faith, when I went to that place, they said, sorry, we're not doing that anymore. And I was like, wow, I blew it. I missed my opportunity. And I thought, like, wow, I actually let fear get the best of me. The enemy was telling me, like, you're not qualified. Nobody's going to listen to you. You're going to fail. And he was using fear to stop this church from starting. And from 2005 to we started in 2008, you know, he had me kind of like fearful, because, like, man, if you ever think about it, what if God called one of you and he told you, go plant a church in your hometown? What is your thing? Like, not me. Right? I mean, what would your response be? Would you have the Jonah response? Like, hey, I'm running. Or would you have the Isaiah response? Lord, send me. I will go. Well, my first response was like Jonah. Good thing I never go fishing, because the fish would have swallowed me. And for a couple years, I was afraid. So here's one of the things. You have to deal with the fear before the fear deals with you. You got to deal with that fear. How many of you are afraid of spiders? You know those big brown cane spiders? Only a few of you. The rest of you, liars. Okay, so the rest of you must be afraid of lizards then. Any lizard fearers out there? Okay. So years ago was a Wednesday evening. We was getting ready for service. Pastor Jaywin, big tall guy, and Chucky, big muscular guy, they was carrying the speaker bag out from the back. And on top of the speaker bag, a spider jumped out. These two big guys, and I hope you're listening online, dropped the bag and ran screaming. And I was like, oh my God, it's a spider. God knows I hate spiders. I really hate spiders. And back when we first started, this was like a spider haven. Everywhere we looked, there was those spiders. And if you crawled in the attic, you would see all those shedding, the shells of the spiders, you know. And so when we had to run the snake through the attic, I sent a lady up there. So they dropped the bag, they run screaming, and I said, if I don't deal with this spider now, that speaker is going to stay out there all night. And I was like, okay, Lord, you never give me that spirit of fear. So I went and I looked around the bag and I seen the spider. Whew. Oh, you can see my heart is racing right now. Just talking about spiders. So I found that spider and I went like, okay, deal with the fear before the fear deals with me. Deal with the fear. So I just suck it up, wind up, and I went wham. And I smashed it as fast as I could so I wouldn't touch it long. And it crawled up and it smashed, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Gosh, my pulse is just racing now just thinking about that. Yeah, seriously. And you know what? Spiders are spiders. You know what? One little spider ain't going to kill me. But, you know, fear, it just got to me. And I believe that fear, I believe, is just like one of Satan's weapons that he uses to control humanity, right? Because it's so effective. Genesis 3:10, look at what happened. Back, all the way in Genesis, he was dealing with this. In Genesis 3:10, he said, I heard, this is Adam, okay? I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. All the way back in Genesis, right after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit, it says in the Bible that they hid from the Lord and they were afraid. See, fear is a byproduct of sin. And sin came into the world because of disobedience. You might want to write that down. Fear is a byproduct of sin. You know when you sin and you go 60 in a 35 zone and the police light behind you? Fear. What? Because of sin. Right? You know, how many of you ever stole and got caught stealing? Yeah? Oh, you get caught kind of like, you know, if you small kid, I remember stole one candy bar from the store, and mine wasn't candy bar, mine was fishing supplies. Yeah, and you get caught, and they question you, and if they could just take your temperature with that thing, guarantee would be 100.4 plus, because you're afraid, because sin. And we all know the consequence of the sin is death. And then that dark day when the devil tempted Eve and they ate of the forbidden fruit, death. And now we live in a fallen world. And death is just certain and it's inevitable. And I believe Satan can use the power of fear to carry out his cause, to kill, steal, destroy, as he attempts to hold us hostage to his evil plans. Satan uses fear to control, to manipulate us by getting us to focus on what is causing the fear and the possible negative outcomes. I mean, there are so many things that can cause us to fear. And, you know, it might be from that lizard. It might be from that spider. It might be from, you know, 1 year ago, at like 11 something at night, my phone rang, and it was my daughter. Dad, I cracked up. It's like, oh, gosh, you know, fear. It's like, oh, no, where are you? I don't know. It's like, what? And I panicked, and I just put on my shirt and whatever. I ran out of the house, and I drove down the street, drove up the road, and she was just almost home, and she fell asleep. And, just that, you know, if you had your child do that to you, call you in the middle of the night and I got into an accident. That is like terrible feeling. And, you know, you think about the outcome, it's like, oh my gosh, is she alive? What's going on? And, you know, I got to tell you this story. And a few weeks ago, I had a colonoscopy. You know how I'm going to sound that. That's nasty, right? And so they said, okay, next week Friday, you log into the computer and you're going to find your results. So, okay, I'll figure 1 week. And so I'm waiting. But I do devotions with Pastor Frank, and I'm going to my office. It's a Wednesday. My phone rings, so I answer my phone on my truck. And it's the doctor. And he said, well, we found some polyps. And is it okay if we talk on the phone? And you know that's bad already. When he says, you want to come into the office or you want to talk on the phone? And he's like, okay, man. It's like, you know what? Just talk on the phone. So I'm driving to my office and he tells me they found polyps and in those polyps, there's cancer. So for a brief moment, I'm like, holy smoke. I got cancer. I got colon cancer. And for a brief moment, I'm like, I am going to die. I am going to die. And then I'm, maybe 5 minutes, I'm thinking, like, I'm going to die. And then my fear is like, I am going to heaven. Wow. Then my thoughts go like, oh, my wife, she's going to catch some insurance money, and she's going to shop. She's going to be happy. Then my thought goes to, oh, my gosh, I got to raise up these guys, you know, all these guys in my leadership class. I got to raise them up, because if I am gone and this church fails, it's on me. And then so I'm thinking like, oh, all these thoughts going to my head. And I'm thinking like, wow, what's going to happen? You know, for that brief moment, I thought, oh, I'm going to die. Just like I was paralyzed. And God said, I'm talking to you. You're going to be okay. So it's like, okay. And even if, you remember the story about those three guys in the book of Daniel? Those three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do you think, JK? They were going to get thrown into a furnace. They said, if God saves us, he saves us. It's not. We're still not going to bow to your idols. You think, I think maybe for a moment, you think they was like maybe a little bit afraid? I mean, who, if God told, if this guy tells you, then he's going to throw you in a furnace. For a brief moment, wouldn't you be like, whoa, that's going to be hot. I'll be cremated alive. And, you know, so Satan uses that and to paralyze us. And I think, what is causing the fear? And I thought, okay, it's the outcome of it. But what is the outcome of it? If I die, what then? I'd be sad that for you guys, but I'd be happy for me. And as I thought, you know, I'm okay. I got, and the effect of this news, you know what it did to me? It made me realize that, man, being up here in front of all of you is such an honor. And I need to put so much more effort into it, because why? You deserve so much more than I can give. So I better give more. It made my dinner with my wife and my time with my wife so much better. It made my meals with my children so much better, because I always thought, like, wow, what if this is the last one? So I made everything in my life come so much more alive, and I realized, like, wow, I've been taking life for granted, man. Thinking that, oh, I get to come up here every week and just blast on message to you. It's like, wow, and everything just like got enhanced and so much better. And so, you know, we're going to continue, but why does Satan use fear? You know, number one, Satan uses fear because it is powerful and it is so highly effective. It is. If you look at 1 Samuel 17, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, you're talking the whole Israeli army, 40 days, one guy, 9 feet tall. These guys, this whole army was paralyzed. Goliath kept that whole army at bay because they were afraid. All they saw was this big guy, until David came along, and this guy was one kid. And all David saw was this big bully defying his God. So here is the question I want to ask you. Has fear stopped you from doing anything for God? Has it stopped you? Maybe God has been saying, hey, I want you to go help with the children. You know, and my fear was children. Every time I thought about children, I thought about Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop. Oh, gosh, children are frightening. They are. And fear stopped me, because I never did Sunday school because I was afraid of children. Because children normally don't like me. I don't know why. So has fear stopped you from doing anything for God? You know, has he stopped you from reading the Bible? Has fear stopped you from reaching out to your neighbor? You know, Satan uses fear because, man, I think fear. You know, if I was to put a lizard in front of Jennifer, I guarantee if I put five around her, she would not move. She would not move. A centipede could crawl up her leg, she wouldn't move because she's afraid of a lizard. And if Satan can use fear to stop you, then he would have won. It would have worked. So we got to deal with the fear before the fear deals with you. You know, when I was going to Bible basics up at the big church, and there were times when we would have to get up and do something in front of the class. And the fear was like, man, I do not like to speak in public. I cannot speak well. My reading is absolutely terrible. So when it was time to do something in front of class, I would like to either go first or second. So I just get this out of the way. And after I got this out of the way, I could go like, oh. You know that feeling? That's how I feel Sunday at 10:05 when we're done with service. Oh. Mondays are my favorite days of the week because I get like 2 or 3 days before the anxiety starts up again. But here's the different types of fear, because if you never know, there are different types of fear. Some are healthy, some are not healthy. The first one is reverent fear. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, the writer of Proverbs says that godly fear is the kind that we need, is the beginning of true wisdom. It is the kind of fear that enables us as human beings to respect God's authority, to obey his command. The fear of God is like, not like the kind like, I'm afraid I'm going to get cracked because I swore, or I want to tell somebody driving next to me they're number one, you know, and I'm going to get lickings because I did. That's not the kind of fear it is. It's an attitude. It's a reverence. It's a wonder. It's an awe. It's like Thursday morning we were doing devotion, and as the sun was coming up, man, the sky was like bright orange. And I was like, wow, I was in awe of God's might and his beauty. And it's a respect. It's an awareness of the presence of a holy God. It's a holy fear. It's really an awe and respect for the majesty and the holiness of God. And that's the kind of fear that is good, the reverent fear. David speaks of this fear as being clean and pure. In Psalms 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. And Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. You know, when we're singing, we're in just reverence and we have awe. Sometimes we lift up our hands in reverence and awe because God is so mighty. And we do that, we respect, admiration, worship, and awe. And that's the reverent fear, which is a good fear. Another one that is good is true fear. This kind of fear is necessary for the preservation of the human race. And true fear is a normal God-given emotion that God has built into each and every one of us. It's a natural alarm system which is designed or designated to protect us. And what is true fear? Okay, say that I am down at the ocean and I am fishing, which I love to do, and the water is pounding and it's rough. But as I'm on the edge of the cliff, I'm looking down at that big, juicy opihi. Oh, man, I would love to eat that bugger right now. Oh. I look at it like, man, the true fear will tell me it's kind of rough. Don't go down there. So sometimes, yeah, that's the fear. Sometimes with the places we go fishing, I climb down like 30 feet to go fishing. True fear tells me no go. Fish tells me to go. So I go anyway. Because sometimes you ignore that true fear. True fear is another one. It's like, okay, should I go the long way? Or should I cut through this dark alley? What does true fear tell you to do? Go the long way, right? True fear, it's like something designed for us. And this is a normal type of fear. It is necessary for our protection and for the preservation of life. And there was nothing wrong with this fear. You know, I think fear can be one of the greatest teachers in the world. For you parents, you know that because you strike fear into your kids, right? You ever told your kids, or else? Right? Or else? Yes. Sometimes the fear of sickness causes people to wash their hands. Sometimes this kind of fear, which never happened to me, but this kind of fear causes students to prepare for exams. Never experienced that one. I don't know about you. This kind of fear causes us to drive cautiously on a wet road. Sometimes this kind of fear causes us to stay home when there's thunder and lightning and 2 or 3 inches of rain an hour, right? We teach our children some of these fears. You know, when they want to touch the stove and it's hot, do you tell them, go ahead, touch them? How many of you did that? Let them learn their lesson the hard way. Ooh, you guys are tough parents who teach your kids the true lessons. Because sometimes when our parents tell us don't, we don't learn the lesson until we do. And then we get burned. When we warn them, how many of you tell your parents, your children, go play in the streets then? Yeah. You tell your children, don't play with guns. And how many of you played with guns? I played with guns. I shot this piece of wood with my BB gun and was so perfectly square that the BB went bounced back and hit me right on my forehead. Whew! That was one tough lesson. Yeah, it cracked me right here. And I was like, oh my God. And you know what? Maybe because it was kind of close too. That was stupid. But this is true fear. In Acts 29-30, it says, fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast 4 anchors from the stern and wish for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship, they had let down the ship's boat into the sea on pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow. So the ship was about to be wrecked. And these sailors, their true fear was saying, get off the boat. But good thing Paul was there, said, you know what? God told me in a dream that if you stay on this boat, you're going to be all right. Now that kind of took them from true fear to, okay, faith. Wow. What are you listen to this guy? He's not the captain. True fear says, get off the boat. But he said, I heard from God. So, you know, true fear tells me not to go surfing because I cannot swim. Yeah, but pride tells me, go for it. I did that, you know. I surfed for years, and then I almost drowned, I don't know how many times. Seriously. There was one time when I bought my brand new boogie board, no leash, went way out Waikiki. First wave ran right over my head and smashed me. My board was gone. The tip of my fin found a rock where I could hold my head above the water to catch my breath and finally make it to my board. Swam all the way in, lied on a beach like a seal, and just lied there until everybody was done and they came back in. I did not pay attention to true fear, and God had plans for me. Okay, and now this is the last one, the really the harmful one, the carnal fear. Carnal fear is a senseless dread and a nagging anxiety. You ever had that happen to you? Like when the boss tells you Friday, I got to talk to you Monday. It's like, oh gosh, no one. If you're a boss, don't ever do that to your workers. Man, that's like, or sometimes some of you may call, you call me up. Hey, can we talk on Monday? And man, the enemy just works me over. Yeah, I was like, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong from the pulpit? Now I'm in trouble. They're going to hate me. And, you know, when you guys call me up and tell me that, oh, gosh, I'm in torture. But after a while, I learned that, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If they got to talk to you, whatever it is, good or bad, what's going to happen? You're going to close the church? You're going to die? No. You're going to be all right. So just don't worry about it. Pray about it if you worry. And move forward. So this fear is like carnal fear. It's like always evil. It's a lack of courage. It's unhealthy. It's destructive. And there's examples in the Bible that talk about it. It's the kind of fear that was expressed by Israel back in the Old Testament. If you remember, Moses was still alive, and he sent Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other guys, go check out this land, see what it's like. And the 12 came back. They had clusters of grapes, and they said, wow, this land flows with milk and honey. And Caleb and Joshua said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. But the other 10 said, no, we can't. No, we can't. And the fear that these 10 had took over everybody except for Joshua and Caleb. The carnal fear. You know what it caused them? It caused them not to go into the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua. And anybody who was over that age of 18 or whatever, they all died in the wilderness because of that fear, that carnal fear. Satan used that to paralyze them. And this kind of fear is always evil. It's that kind of fear. Even though in Numbers 14:9 says, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. This is what God told them. Their protection had been removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But what did they do? Those 10 guys were afraid. The carnal fear got the best of them. You think about it, the whole nation, those older ones. That would be most of us right here, our age. That because of those 10 guys' fears and their influence, that we wouldn't enter the promised land. You know, we gotta deal with the fear before the fear deals with you. You know, if there's something you gotta face and that you gotta do, get it done. Don't wait until the fear overwhelms you, paralyzes you, and you don't act. And as you go about your week, think about the different types of fear that you face and see if it's reverent fear. See if it's like an awe and your respect for God. See if it's true fear, that it's protecting you, that is keeping you safe, that you are not to go downtown Hilo in the middle of the night to preach the word of God. You know, that's a worthy thing, but think about it. True fear might be keeping you alive. Carnal fear. When the doctor called me and he told me that I have colon cancer, for that brief moment, fear came unto me until I thought about it. And I turned my thoughts to heaven, my thoughts to my wife, my thoughts to my church family. So after all of that has been said and done, went to the doctor, did my consult, went to the hospital, had my surgery. They made like 4 pukas in my stomach and stuff. That's why I'm a little bit sore. They took out part of my colon. They reattached it. They examined it and said, "We got it all. We got it all. And you don't need to have chemotherapy." You're like, yes. Although, I wouldn't have mind being bald for a little while. And then, once my thought changed and I was ready to go in the hospital, I was like, man, Lord, there's got to be somebody I can pray for here. First nurse coming, can I pray for you? He looked at me, he's like, sure thing. I pray for the nurse. And I got to pray for a couple of the nurses. It's like, yes. I mean, that was my whole mission in the hospital, to go pray for the nurses. And then, you know, I get out of surgery, and they tell me I walk. So I walk gingerly down, and I come back, and I think, like, this is terrible. They give me that stuff to suck on to make that thing go up, and you got to do that and hold it. And it's like, oh, my God, this is painful. And I am in pain, but my neighbor, they cut off his toes, and he only had one leg, and he was moaning and groaning all night. So God gave me perspective, like, what you crying about? It's like, oh, you're so right. So I had the surgery. When Thursday I got up, and I looked at my neighbor and said, Al, can I pray for you? He goes, yeah. So I lay my hands on him, and I pray for him. And that's what my father-in-law does for me, prays for me. Well, good job, man. He's praying for you. So later on that afternoon, he's moaning and groaning again. So I said, yeah, can I pray for you again? Oh, yeah. So I lay hands on him. I pray for him. And I said, Lord, my pain and suffering is nothing compared to what he's going through. He's on that, what is that thing that you got to put on for breathe every night? And he says, it's not working in the middle of the night. Not working. I have an anxiety. Nurses, you got to get me out of here. I got to get outside to breathe. I mean, he's like in the middle of the night doing this. So the nurse, to gracefully take him out, let him breathe. Then Friday, you know, I'm moving around. I'm better. I know the doctor's going to let me go. It's like, hallelujah. And my neighbor's still suffering. So I go over there in the morning. I say, how long are you going to be there? Well, I'm hoping I get out Monday. I've been here for a month. And I was like, oh. So I asked, hey, Al, you received Jesus? Not yet. Would you like to receive Jesus? I think I need to soon. How's about right now? Okay, so I pray the salvation prayer with him. He received Jesus, and I think he's like, wow, Lord, it was all worth it just to get one guy saved. And in the end, it's like, man, God is good. And you cannot let fear paralyze you. Carnal fear, that's a big liar. Deal with the fear before the fear deals with you. Amen? Amen. So next week, we're going to talk about courage, okay? Woo! But, man, God is so good. And I just thank you for being here. And I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Maybe each one of you, maybe some of you never had the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe because of fear, because you don't know what's going to happen. And believe me, you don't, because God will do mighty things if you allow him. When I said yes to Jesus, I never knew it would take me on this journey where I am now. But I don't want to let fear stop you from receiving Jesus. To say, yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, use me. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you would like to receive Jesus, whether you're right here physically or on Facebook or whether it's going to be shared, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Anybody? All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each one here. And Lord, I pray that we would not let fear keep us paralyzed, but we would learn from fear, that we would get rid of all carnal fear, that we would turn that carnal fear into faith and trust in you. Thank you so much, Lord. And as we go about our week, let us fear you. Let us have reverence and awe for you. Let the true fear keep us safe from entering into dark places where we shouldn't be. And let the carnal fear be non-existent in our lives. Turn that into faith. We thank you, Lord. Give us courage and strength to get through this pandemic. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Okay, so here's the thing, man. We got to sing. So stand up. And even those of you who are out there in Facebook land, not just sit on your couch and sing. Stand up, sing, hands in the air, dance because nobody can see you. But worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Let's sing.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.